This is the daily radio ministry of Pastor Sandy Adams of Calvary Chapel Stone Mountain in Atlanta, Georgia. Now, here's Pastor Sandy as he teaches through the book of Numbers, chapters 1 through 5.
Three tribes camped on each of the four sides of the children of Israel. But imagine the tabernacle in the middle, and there's three tribes this way, three tribes this way, three tribes this way, three tribes this way. This direction's east, this direction's west, this direction's north, this direction's south. Now he tells us on the east, Judah was the closest to the tabernacle. Then came Issachar and Zebulun. To the south there was Reuben, then Simeon, and then Gad. The west side story was Ephraim, Manasseh, and then Benjamin. And to the north, those Yankee tribes, were Dan and Asher and Naphtali. Now, from a practical standpoint, this arrangement of the camp was strategic. It was a way to maximize space, and it made for a ring of protection around the tabernacle. And when the camp broke and marched, it made it smoother and easier to mobilize and to move out. It also said something about God's heart for the nation Israel, for at the center of the camp was the tabernacle. It was the place of worship. And Israel's national life, God was saying, was to be centered around Him and around the worship of Him. These were the practical reasons behind the arrangement of the camp. But it's from a spiritual perspective that you see the real strategy behind God's design. For the tabernacle was at the hub, and out from the hub came four spokes of three tribes each. Imagine, though, what the camp of Israel looked like from God's perspective. Think about it from an aerial view. There's three tribes this way, three tribes this way, three tribes this way, three tribes this way. What shape does that form? It forms the shape of a cross. Isn't that amazing? From God's vantage point, whenever He looked down upon His people, He was reminded of the means by which He would save them. All of their sacrifices would speak of one thing, the cross of Jesus Christ. It's also interesting here that in verse 2, we're told that each of the 12 tribes camped under the banner of the four lead tribes on each of the four sides of the tabernacle. And remember, the banner was the coat of arms. It was the insignia. And we know what these insignias were. Judah marched under the banner of a lion, Reuben, a man, Ephraim, an ox, and Dan, an eagle. And this is so fascinating. For whenever we get an opportunity to peer into the heavenly throne room, passages like Ezekiel chapter 1, Revelation chapter 4, you can reference them later. Whenever we look into heaven, we always find four living creatures or angels. And it's interesting the faces that they have. They have the face of a lion, and the face of a man, and the face of an ox, and the face of an eagle. It's like seeing the banners of Judah and Reuben and Ephraim and Dan. You see, it seems this camp of Israel was a type of God's throne room in heaven. It was a symbol of the cross. It spoke spiritual meaning as well as had physical practicality. When they began to march, the eastern tribes broke first, followed by the southern three tribes. Then comes verse 17. Then the tabernacle of meeting shall move out from the camp of the Levites in the middle of the camps. As they camp, so they shall move out, everyone in his place, by their standards. The tabernacle was placed in the middle. It was the heart of their procession. And after the tabernacle, the western tribes, they broke camp, followed by the caboose. Dan, Asher, and Naphtali, they brought up the rear. They acted as the rear guard. Verse 32 tells us, these are the ones who were numbered of the children of Israel by their fathers' houses. All who were numbered according to their armies of the forces were 603,550. But the Levites were not numbered among the children of Israel, just as the Lord commanded Moses. Here's a point. Remember, there are some things that you count, and there's some things that you don't count. They were to count all the tribes, but not tribe of Levi. Thus the children of Israel did according to all that the Lord commanded Moses. So they camped by their standards, and so they broke camp, each one by his family, according to their father's houses. And imagine 3 million people now on the move. It must have been an imposing sight, and it must have struck fear in the hearts of their enemies. Chapter 3. Now these are the records of Aaron and Moses when the Lord spoke with Moses on Mount Sinai. And these are the names of the sons of Aaron: Nadab, the firstborn, and Abihu, Eleazar, and Ithamar. These are the names of the sons of Aaron, the anointed priests, whom he consecrated to minister as priests. Now you remember what happened to Nadab and Abihu? They died before the Lord when they offered profane fire before the Lord in the wilderness of Sinai, and they had no children. Remember that story? How they worshiped God in a way that pleased them and not him. Fire fell from heaven and they turned into crispy critters. Nadab and Abihu were the first pastors ever to suffer from burnout. And so Eleazar and Ithamar ministered as priests under the oversight of Aaron, their father. Now remember, all the priests were Levites, but not all the Levites were priests. And this is important to keep in mind. Only Aaron, his sons, and their descendants could serve as priests over Israel. Verse 5 tells us, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Bring the tribe of Levi near and present them before Aaron the priest, that they may serve him. And they shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation before the tabernacle of meeting, to do the work of the tabernacle." Levi was to be the priestly tribe, and they were to come alongside Aaron and his sons to help them in their ministry. I think there's a parallel in the New Testament. They were to come alongside the high priest to help in his ministry, just as the elders and the deacons need to come alongside the pastor in our church to help us serve the body of Christ. I think our elders and deacons are more or less New Testament Levites. You see, the point is that every ministry is too big for one man. Every ministry. And that's why there needs to be delegation. That's why other people need to get involved. The high priest needed help. So does your pastor. Now notice the Levites are given to the high priest for two reasons. Notice verse 7 tells us, "They shall attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation." Did you notice that? They were to attend to his needs and the needs of the whole congregation. And I think here's another analogy. In a sense, we are all Levites. And who is our high priest? Who does Hebrews 7 say is our high priest? Jesus Christ, you're right. But what does it really mean to serve the Lord? Here we find a model. First, it means to attend to his needs. And this is why Jesus wants a personal relationship with you and me, so we can know his heart. He wants us to be tender and sensitive to what's important to him personally. Our role as Levites is to be attending to our high priest's needs. We make Jesus happy when we worship him. We make him happy when we're attentive to the instructions he whispers to us through the Holy Spirit. But also, Jesus wants us to attend to the needs of the whole congregation. That's the second thing the Levites did. And we serve Jesus by serving each other. If you love Jesus, I'll learn to love you and you'll learn to love me. Verse 8 tells us, "Also, they shall attend to all the furnishings of the tabernacle of meeting and to the needs of the children of Israel to do the work of the tabernacle. And you shall give the Levites to Aaron and his sons. They are given entirely to him from among the children of Israel. So you shall appoint Aaron and his sons, and they shall attend to their priesthood. But the outsider who comes near shall be put to death." Only the Levites were supposed to do the job of the Levites. Later, we're going to read about a king. His name was Uzziah. And though he was a king, which meant he was from the tribe of Judah, he wanted to be a priest. But when he went into the holy place, dressed up like a priest, God struck him with leprosy. I guess in light of Leviticus, God let him off light. According to this law, he was to be put to death. Here's the point. Find out what God has called you to do, and then stick to it. We can die a slow death when we try to do somebody else's job. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, Now behold, I myself have taken the Levites from among the children of Israel, instead of every firstborn who opens the womb among the children of Israel. Therefore the Levites shall be mine, because all the firstborn are mine. On the day that I struck all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, I sanctified to myself all the firstborn in Israel, both man and beast. They shall be mine. I am the Lord. Now, here God works a deal with Israel. You might say he makes a trade. The Hebrews were supposed to dedicate their firstborn of every family to God. It was a thank you to God for saving their firstborn while they were in Egypt. You remember the death plague that passed over the houses and the firstborn of every house died unless the blood was spread on the doorposts and the thresholds. But here God barters with Israel. Okay, I won't take the firstborn. Instead, I'll just take the tribe of Levi. And he says here that he'll accept the 22,000 Levites as a substitute for Israel's firstborn. Verse 14 tells us, Then the Lord spoke to Moses in the wilderness of Sinai, saying, Number the children of Levi by their fathers' houses, by their families. You shall number every male from a month old and above. So Moses numbered them according to the word of the Lord as he was commanded. These were the sons of Levi by their names, Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And the next few verses list the sons of Gershon, Kohath, and Merari. And each of the families are numbered. There were 7,500 Gershonites, another 8,600 Kohathites, and 6,200 Merariites. The total number of the Levites, we're told, was 22,000. When you add the wives and the daughters to the tribe, then the tribe of Levi probably numbered around 80,000. Verse 23 tells us, The families of the Gershonites were to camp behind the tabernacle westward. And the leader of the father's house of the Gershonites was Eliasaph, the son of Lael. The duties of the children of Gershon in the tabernacle of meeting included, notice this, the tabernacle, the tent with its covering, the screen for the door of the tabernacle of meeting, the screen for the door of the court, the hangings of the court which are around the tabernacle and the altar, and their cords according to all the work relating to them. If you're taking notes, the Gershonites handled the tabernacle fabrics. Fabrics. Verse 29. The families of the children of Kohath were to camp on the south side of the tabernacle, and the leaders of the fathers' houses of the families of the Kohathites were Eliasaphan, the son of Uziel. Their duty included the ark, the table, the lampstand, the altars, the utensils for the sanctuary with which they ministered, the screen, and all the work relating to them. Kohath oversaw the furniture. The furniture. Notice verse 32, God places one of Aaron's sons over the Kohathites, and Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, shall be the chief over the leaders of the Levites with oversight of those who kept charge of the sanctuary. And I want you to notice there was a hierarchy. Apparently there was a chain of command. Evidently God is into oversight and organization. Verse 35, And the leaders of the father's house of the families of Merari were Zuriel, the son of Abihail. These were to camp on the north side of the tabernacle. And the appointed duty of the children of Merari included the boards of the tabernacle, its bars, its pillars, its sockets, its utensils, all the work relating to them, and the pillars of the court all around with their sockets, their pegs, and their cords. In other words, the family of Merari was in charge of transporting the frame. There will be a test on this next week. Gershon handled what? The fabrics. The Kohathites oversaw what? The furniture. And Merari was in charge of the frame. There will be a test on this next week. Verse 38 tells us, Moreover, those who were to camp before the tabernacle on the east, before the tabernacle of meeting, were Moses, Aaron, and his sons, keeping charge of the sanctuary to meet the needs of the children of Israel, but the outsider who came near was to be put to death, Remember, on the east side of the tabernacle was right by the entrance into the tabernacle. And so Moses and Aaron were situated there. That gave them best access. All who were numbered of the Levites, whom Moses and Aaron numbered at the commandment of the Lord by their families, all the males from a month old and above were 22,000. Imagine, 22,000 men, and every one of them had Levi jeans. Then the Lord said to Moses, number all the firstborn males of the children of Israel from a month old and above, and take the number of their names. And you shall take the Levites for me, I am the Lord, instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites, instead of all the firstborn among the livestock of the children of Israel. And so Moses numbered all the firstborn among the children of Israel, as the Lord commanded him, and all the firstborn males, according to the number of names from a month old and above, of those who were numbered of them, were 22,273. Then the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, take the Levites instead of all the firstborn among the children of Israel, and the livestock of the Levites instead of their livestock. The Levites shall be mine. I am the Lord. But it wasn't really an even swap. God was getting shorted 273 people. And God never gets cheated. He sees to that. Verse 46. And for the redemption of the 273 of the firstborn of the children of Israel, who are more than the number of the Levites, you shall take 5 shekels for each one individually. You shall take them in the currency of the shekel of the sanctuary, the shekel of 20 gerahs, and you shall give the money with which the excess number of them is redeemed to Aaron and his sons. So Moses took the redemption money from those who were over and above, those who were redeemed by the Levites. From the firstborn of the children of Israel, he took the money, 1,365 shekels, according to the shekel of the sanctuary. And Moses gave the redemption money to Aaron and his sons, according to the word of the Lord, as the Lord commanded Moses. See what happened? God was getting shorted 273 people, and so he basically had them pay a redemption price to make up the difference. There are a couple of problems here that we need to sort out. First, with 603,550 men, why were there only 22,273 firstborn? Did that catch your attention? If 90% of the men were married, that would mean there would be just one firstborn child per every 24 marriages. Means there were a lot of barren marriages. But that's not the case. Here's the answer to the dilemma. This number of firstborn was probably just those that had been born after they left Egypt. If it had been retroactive, the number would have been much larger. And there's another apparent problem we need to sort out. If you add the total of each of the 3 families of Levites, you know, we went over that earlier. If you add those totals, you don't get 22,000, you get 22,300. And there are several possibilities for the difference. First, Moses may have just simply rounded off. We do that today. But given the detail that he's taking here, I doubt if that was the case. The second possibility, which I think is the most likely, is there were 300 firstborn among the Levites. And since God already possessed the firstborn, they didn't count in the total. Either way, the point is you need to trust your Bible. If you study it, if you look objectively, there's a good reason for every one of these so-called alleged discrepancies. Chapter 4. Then the Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron, saying, take a census of the sons of Kohath from among the children of Levi, by their families, by their father's house, from 30 years old and above, even to 50 years old, all who entered the service to do the work in the tabernacle of meeting. Notice the mandatory retirement age for a priest in Israel, 50 years old. They served just 20 years. They started when they were 30, they ended when they were 50, and then they stepped aside to give the younger guys an opportunity. Today, someone might want to slap God with an age discrimination suit. The priest started at 30, they retired at 50. And it's interesting, you remember Jesus didn't really begin his ministry until he was around 30 years old. The next few verses explain how the tabernacle furniture was packed for transport. This is the service of the sons of Kohath in the tabernacle of meeting relating to the most holy things. When the camp prepares to journey, Aaron and his sons shall come, and they shall take down the covering veil and cover the ark of the testimony with it. Then they shall put on it a covering of badger skins and spread over that a cloth entirely of blue, and they shall insert its poles. Now you remember what happened when King David got a little too flippant, a little too casual with God's holiness? Remember, he wanted to bring the ark into the city of Jerusalem, but he put it on a cart. That's the way the Philistines had sent it back over from the Philistine territory, on a cart. And when the ark began to slide off the cart, perhaps it hit a rock, I don't know, a man by the name of Uzzah, he reached up to grab it. And the moment he did, God struck him dead. He had touched what was holy and what was not to be touched by mortal man. And David, King David, was to blame. You see, he had tried to serve God his own way. He had tried to serve God with the methods of the Gentiles, with the methods of this world. That's a mistake that a lot of churches are making today. And it always brings death in some form or fashion. Guys, write this down. God's work always needs to be done God's way. They were to take the ark. They were to cover it properly. Then they were to slide the poles into the rings that were attached to its side, and they were to carry it on poles. On the table of showbread, they shall spread a blue cloth and put on it the dishes, the pans, the bowls, and the pitchers for pouring, and the showbread shall be on it. Notice they carried the bread on the table. They shall spread over them a scarlet cloth and cover the same with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. And they shall take a blue cloth and cover the lampstand of the light with its lamps, its wick trimmers, its trays, and all its oil vessels with which they service it. Then they shall put it with all its utensils in a covering of badger skins and put it on a carrying beam. Over the golden altar they shall spread a blue cloth and cover it with a covering of badger skins, and they shall insert its poles. Then they shall take all the utensils of service with which they minister in the sanctuary, put them in a blue cloth, cover them with a covering of badger skins, and put them on a carrying beam. Also they shall take away the ashes from the altar and spread a purple cloth over it. They shall put on it all its implements with which they minister there, the fire pans, the forks, the shovels, the basins, and all the utensils of the altar, and they shall spread it on it a covering of badger skins and insert its poles. And when Aaron and his sons have finished covering the sanctuary and all the furnishings of the sanctuary, when the camp is set to go, then the sons of Kohath shall come to carry them, but they shall not touch any holy thing, lest they die. These are the things in the tabernacle of meeting which the sons of Kohath are to carry. The Kohathites were the furniture movers, the holy mover company of Israel. They move the furniture. And notice they use these blue cloths. I wonder if that's any reason why the U-Haul gives you blue cloths when you rent one of their trailers. You ever notice that? They give you all those, that big stack of blue cloths. I don't know. The appointed duty of Eleazar, the son of Aaron, the priest, is the oil for the light, the sweet incense, the daily grain offering, the anointing oil, the oversight of all the tabernacle, of all that is in it, with the sanctuary and its furnishings.
In Numbers 6, 24 through 26, we read, "The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace." Today, we here at Sandy Adams Radio want to speak this beautiful blessing over your life. When you find yourself in a place of turmoil, trust that Jesus is with you. He's turned His face toward you and wants to bless your life. If you don't know Jesus personally, we would love to introduce you. Please give us a call at 770-736-2828. We'd be honored to share with you the life-changing love and forgiveness of Jesus Christ and pray with you about anything you're facing. Our phone number again is 770-736-2828. If you'd like to hear today's message again or find other teachings from Pastor Sandy, visit our website at sandyadams.org. Did you know you can also take Sandy Adams Radio on the go? Simply download the Sandy Adams teaching app on your smartphone. You'll then have great, sound biblical teachings to add a spiritual boost to your busy day right at your fingertips. Visit sandyadams.org to find the link. You'll also find an online store of resources available for purchase and much more information about Pastor Sandy and this ministry. Pastor Sandy will continue teaching verse by verse through the book of Numbers on the next edition of Sandy Adams Radio.